This is a podcast about adapting, overcoming, and thriving in life and business. I'm your host, Kirsty O'Brien, mum of four and meditation and mindfulness practitioner. And this is exactly where you're meant to be if you're ready to ditch the guilt and self-doubt and start showing up as the woman you were meant to be. This is the Mindful AF in Life and Business podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Mindful AF in Life and Business. And I'm very excited because I have Alison back joining me again today. Hi, Alison.
Hi, Kirsty. Great to be here.
So if you have listened already, Alison and I did an episode all on imposter syndrome where Alison gave some fantastic tips on, you know, actually dealing with imposter syndrome and helping to, you know, manage and overcome it. So that's episode 44 if you have missed it and you want to take a listen. And I'm also going to link that in the show notes too. But Alison is a career coach and confidence and imposter syndrome specialist. So we had so much fun talking last time, and we sort of began to touch on some different areas, you know, relating to confidence on our last chat. And afterwards, Alison and I just said we really wanted to do another episode together because, as you've said so many times, confidence is such a massive sort of thing to even sort of get your teeth into. But so today we really want to talk about confidence and rejection. So I'm very excited because I feel like in life and business we have so much, so many no's, so many things that don't work, and they're not a level of, you know, our success or our worth or what we're able to do. They're just part of the journey. And there's, you know, when you keep pushing past, you know, the no's and the rejection and, you know, maybe the failures, that's when quite often we get those breakthroughs. How have you seen, you know, working with people throughout the years that we tend to hold ourselves back just for the fear of rejection alone?
Yeah, it's a great question. And firstly, Kirsty, thank you for having me back on your podcast. And for anyone who's just listening to the audio version of this podcast, you're missing the fact that Kirsty and I are wearing matching orange today. So, which I think is a great universal sign that we're meant to be chatting today. So I just wanted to open up by sharing that. What a great place to start. And what a confident color, right? So I think we're definitely on brand. But no, thank you very much, Kirsty, for having me back. And for anyone who's listening to this. And I think kicking off, yes, with speaking about rejection and confidence, how confidence plays a part in helping you manage rejection, I think is a great place to start with this very big topic. So confidence has many layers. As we know, we can talk about it for hours. And definitely, it's a skill that if you can master your confidence and continually build it, when you do face rejection in whatever scenarios, or when you do experience failure, and both are inevitable, when you're building your own business or progressing through your career, or a woman stepping out of her comfort zone in whatever way, shape or form that is for anyone listening to this. So it is inevitable. And that's what I wanted to kick off with, is that we need to normalize rejection, or normalize that failure, either or, I'm speaking to both at the moment, are a standard part of the journey. So I guess back to your original question, when I'm working with women that I coach or that I speak to on confidence, it's that actually the higher we get our confidence, we actually suffer more rejection and more failure, because we have the confidence to keep stepping out of our comfort zone, to do more and to say more, which means we actually, just by part nature of doing that, actually hit more what's considered rejection. But the silver linings of that are that you hit them faster. And so when we hit no's, to your point, Kirsty, or rejection faster, we actually get clarity, which, as you know, is a key pillar of confidence, because we either sort of hit a snag and go, okay, I have to change direction, or perhaps my first pitch or proposal wasn't quite right, or I need to go away and assess something. So the more we can actually take on rejection and failure, the better we will be. We build resilience, and there's silver linings. But to get to that point, we do have to keep working on our confidence, because what I do traditionally see in women as well, which is quite common, and I'll explain why in a moment, is that, yes, before we even get to stepping into the arena and potentially facing a rejection or no, we actually self-reject. And so that's a term I wanted to bring into today. So when we self-reject, it's when our fear takes over, and so we actually don't do anything. So we don't send the email, we don't pitch the work, we don't pick up the phone and have the conversation or follow up on the, you know, networking referral that we have. So the fear holds us back, and we do what I call self-reject. And so that also causes us a massive lot of problems, because it blocks us like any fear. So the trick to not self-rejecting fundamentally is around getting your confidence up in the first place, and can share some tips on how I work through women, you know, doing that in a confidence formula that I work on. But we need to move away from self-rejecting. So we need to develop the confidence to put ourselves in the game and to try. And I guess my takeaway here is to normalize rejection, or normalize failure, as part of the process. So let's embrace it and turn the terminology into, well, it's inevitable that I'm either A, going to get rejected by someone or something, or B, fail, but that's okay, because that's on my road to success, as opposed to, oh gee, I don't want to put myself in the situation of hitting one of those two barriers. So I want us to normalize it. And I guess that's what today is about, as well as elevating this conversation. Nobody is exempt from failure or rejection in their journey of career or life. So I think let's use confidence as a building block, but let's normalize it first and foremost, which is, I guess, what I wanted to open this podcast with.
I think it's so important, exactly, because your success doesn't hinge on the no or the failure or the setback. But it's really interesting when you were talking about that with, did you say self-rejection?
Yes, self-reject, yes.
And I 100% did that in the early stages of my business, but was not aware that that's what I was doing. But when you just, you know, spoke that, I'm like, yes, but, you know, there's a time in my business when I very first started out where I was sort of like sitting there thinking, why isn't this happening? Why isn't that happening? But it was because I wasn't doing the thing for fear of being, obviously, yeah, at getting that no. And it wasn't until I sort of could break through past that. But, yeah, I had no idea. And I think that that's a really common thing that we're doing, where we're holding ourselves back for that fear of it.
And that's why I wanted to, and also your opening question led into it beautifully, but that's why I wanted to kind of raise this at the beginning of this podcast, because for anyone listening to this, if you have a fear of rejection, or if you have experienced some form of rejection, it's important to know which side of that spectrum you've been on. So have you actually experienced a perceived failure or rejection, or have you actually self-rejected? Right. So it's going to be one or the other, of course. But if it's self-rejection, or perhaps you are, you know, yes, you're not sending the email, you're not making the call, you're not doing the work out of fear, then our approach to that will be slightly different to, overcoming that will be slightly different to, hey, if you are putting yourself out there, and if you are actually doing the work but getting the no's or the rejection, okay, well, what does that look like, and how do we not take that personal? Even though we have experienced it because we've gotten the no, how do we not take it personal, and how do we make sure we keep it what I call situational, not personal? Because one of the biggest lead weights we can carry with rejection or failure is for us to take it personally.
Yeah.
So because what happens then is then we turn our focus internally, and we start to ruminate, or we start to bring ourselves down and attack ourselves again from the inside, when really the reason for the rejection is actually the odds are significantly that it was to do with something else other than you.
Yeah.
So we need to stop coming internally and actually stay externally and assess the situational aspects of the how, the why and what we can do better, rather than internally beating ourselves up really quickly and then putting ourselves, as you know, Kirsty, can happen in a really bad mindset where we get really down on ourselves, the negative self-talk goes up and all of these other areas that feed the fear. And then we get trapped in those fear or doubt cycles. And there are many because they're individual to you. Everyone's got a different story. But we want to identify the differences so we know why we're doing what we're doing or why we're feeling like we're feeling, and then we can take the best corrective action, because sometimes it's different.
So how do we stop taking it personally? Like, what's your advice there? Because it is so true. That's what we tend to do, isn't it? We take that no as a reflection of our worth or our abilities or how smart we were or whatever, you know, we're offering and trying to get over the line, or failure is, you know, really then just defines who we are in business even, and we feel like giving up. So what are your tips for not taking it so personally?
Yeah, well, the first one, that's another great question, actually, but I love to go deep on this because it's a big one for women is not taking it personally. And the first one is I covered earlier, but just to go a bit deeper, is that we need to normalize it. So we need to actually retrain our language and our dialogue to ourselves and our understanding of rejection. I'll just call it rejection, but we're talking about, you know, failure, or however anyone listening to this wants to kind of word it. But we need to normalize it. So we actually need to do some work and say, this is actually part of the process. Every business person, career woman, regardless of your job, career or level, experiences rejection. So it's not just on ourselves. We need to lift it off ourselves and make it a situational thing, because it is. And there's, you know, great articles out there. And I mean, even when you think of some incredibly successful people out there, like J.K. Rowling, you know, the author of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I forget, and this is a real story. You can all go and, you know, Google this or read it yourselves. But I forget, you know, don't hold me to the exact number, but I think her manuscript for Harry Potter was rejected by some ridiculous amount of publishers. I think it was in the double digits.
Mm.
This woman was rejected and rejected and rejected, but she just connected back with her purpose and her why and essentially kept going. And obviously we know the end of that story with Harry Potter. But there's many stories out there as well, so you're not alone. Let's elevate it off ourselves and make it a situational thing. So that's the first step. Normalize it. I've had my fair share of rejection and failure. In fact, I copped a rejection last Friday. So it still happens to me regularly. I just know not to take it personally. So nobody's exempt from this. So let's normalize it is the first step. The second step is to change the language. So I call rejection redirection. So I don't look at it as a rejection or a hard stop. I look at it as a pivot or as a redirection. So we go, okay, we've tried something, we've been rejected. So what now? Is a language issue. So do I need to change my pitch or change my angle? Did I pitch to the wrong person? Did they give me any feedback? Perhaps they lied about their budget. So again, we want to look at the situation. We want to go external, not internal. We don't want to criticize ourselves first. We want to process the external. So that's tip two. So first we normalize it. Second, let's look at the situation and reframe it. It's a redirection. What can we do better? What can we do next? What can we do tomorrow that's going to change the course and give us a better outcome? And the third tip I want to share is to reconnect with your why. So why did you take that step in the first place? And the answer to that is because you really believe in what you're doing, or you're running your own business, or you're progressing your career, or you wanted to pitch a great idea to your existing team about something. So there's a reason why you did what you did. And fundamentally, I think when we connect back with that, if our passion is deep enough, or kind of if our purpose is really there, we'll be able to, again, work on ways to get through the situation better. So the way to the overarching takeaway for that, anyone listening, is majority of the time it isn't personal And when we deflect internally to ourselves, that's our ego taking over. That's our ego that, and we've all got an ego, right? And that's our ego that in our minds has taken a hit. But we need to redirect our thinking and say, well, actually, let me look at the situation first. So don't go internal first, stay external, assess the situation, get absolute clarity on what's actually happened and why it's happened. And that will help you sort of take off that personal weight, because majority, and I've done this work for a long time, the reality is more often than not, right, rejection is not in fact personal. Mm. It's the perspective of the individual that takes it personal, not the actual reality of the situation.
I think that's great advice about looking externally, because I think that we do tend to just straight away go internally. And what did we do wrong? What's, you know, lacking within? And just by making that shift of looking externally, it just changes the whole feel of it, doesn't it? And exactly like you said, then it really is more of a redirection. Okay, this wasn't meant to be, but where to now? Let's look at those external situations, circumstances, and maybe try something different. So it sort of, you know, helps you to stay in that expansive state, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's best in this case when we're talking about dealing with rejection, or as I said, reframing it into redirection, is looking external first, just so we can get all the pieces and all the situational aspects. And then once we've got all of those, you know, we jot them down or we've got them in our memory bank, then reflecting back on ourselves and thinking, okay, could I have done something better? Was I, you know, because they're all good learnings as well, because yep. sometimes we do need to improve. Sometimes we haven't put our best foot forward, but again, it's okay because it's all part of the process. None of us are perfect. So it's definitely assess the external first, get all the information, and then obviously bring it back to then assessing yourself and doing a little checklist going, would I do something different? Or, and then the purpose of this exercise is because then you've got a whole picture. Mm. So you've got a whole picture of evidence, and linking back to the evidence of what's actually just happened is really key, just like it is when you're trying to overcome imposter syndrome and other forms of doubt, because we get caught in our own mind, and what happens is we lose track of the evidence and what's actually happened or the situation, because we get caught up in our own minds. So let's bring it back to the evidence, the situation, the other person, scenarios, budgets, whatever in play, and then make some decisions once we've got all of the info.
Mm. And it's interesting you brought up J.K. Rowling, and I was listening to a podcast the other day about another woman that's got I can't remember her name, sorry. she's got a makeup brand, and I think she was rejected 52 times by QVC, and then she's now got the biggest selling makeup line on QVC. And I love now that, you know, I think with the rise of podcasts especially, you get to hear so many more people's journeys about that part that, you know, is often forgotten or not talked about once you see their success. Mm-hmm. And that is the fact that, yeah, there's lots of no's, there's lots of failures, there's lots of setbacks, because exactly sometimes that's part of your journey to grow into yourself as a woman, into yourself in your own business. And by having those conversations around, you know, what that part looked like is so important, so that we just don't feel like it's, you know, just us that's dealing with this redirection.
I agree. And I think, yes, podcasts and the stories, and there's so much great literature out there on social media. And yes, we're women and we are sharing more of these stories, and we're normalizing it more, which again, I love, because it is part of the process. And you know, also obviously our theme of today's conversation is the more we can be working on our confidence as women and building up our skill of confidence, the more it will help us with this as well, because confident women, they face more failure or more rejection simply because they do more, they mm-hmm. act more, because confidence is built off action. So the higher your confidence, you actually don't shy away from rejection or failure. You actually hit them harder and faster sometimes. but your confidence levels help you in A, not taking it personally, and B, help you bounce back a lot faster or redirect a lot faster. And I'm talking in a matter of hours or days, when typically it could have people down for weeks or months,
yeah. Right?
Whether we're self-rejecting or whether we have literally hit what's perceived as a failure or a rejection because somebody's given us that feedback or we've heard a no. But if we don't, yes, if we don't learn to manage this, it can keep us down and block us for a long time. And what happens then when we're down is that the confidence keeps going down and down with that. And then we sort of start to spiral into a space where we don't know how to get out, right? Our confidence is taken a hit. We feel that we are failing, or we become fearful of another rejection. So again, we always want to be working on our confidence in the background to help us manage this. But for anyone listening to this, the higher your confidence, the more you will actually face this. But it will build resilience along the way, which is a great silver lining, but you will still be opening more doors or achieving more because you will be in the game more.
Yeah.
As a kind of, you know, analogy, and I use that with my clients. I always say to my clients, don't take yourself out of the game. So in life, because we're normalizing rejection, it's inevitable, but we don't want to take ourselves out of the game. We don't want to self-reject. Right, I find that so in this conversation, because we're talking about both, I'm so passionate about ensuring that women don't self-reject, because then we will always wonder what could have been. Whereas facing a certainty, like if we hit a failure or a no, for anyone listening to this, you can deal with the clarity of an answer a lot better, even if it's the answer you don't want to hear, like a no, as opposed to a yes, better then you can deal or cope with not knowing. When you don't know what could have been, there is a higher level of degree of regret or thinking, gosh, what if I had just done that and that sort of thing. And regret is an awful thing to carry, you know, through your life. And the statistics show that we regret much more of what we don't do than what we do do and, in this case, get rejected on.
Yeah,
so that's just something that I wanted to share as well. Like, we want to make sure we're not self-rejecting, that we stay in the game through keeping our confidence high, and through trying and applying ourselves and normalizing rejection. When we normalize it, we start to pull away those scary layers of it, because all of a sudden you don't say to yourself, oh gosh, what if I do get rejected? You will say to yourself, well, it's inevitable it's going to happen soon because I'm pushing a few, you know, things around here. But, hey, you know, I'm ready for it because I've got a mission, a goal, a passion, a business to run, you know, a promotion to take, whatever it might be. So I just wanted to share that perspective as well.
Yeah. And I think, too, when you maintain your confidence, it helps you to probably deal with other people's opinions, because I think everybody has, sometimes they think, oh, especially family perhaps, have that, you know, opinion, well, you got rejected, that didn't work out, maybe you should give up now and move on to something else. And because there's a lot of times when your family might not understand your dream, you know, if you're self-employed, yes. And they, you can see that vision of what you're trying to create, and, or, you know, it might even be a partner that feels like, okay, when's this business going to, you know, make money, when are you going to get that breakthrough, so you feel that pressure. So I suppose then making sure that having that higher level of confidence is really going to help you to also deal with other people's opinions on things that happen, like your failures or your setbacks or your rejection, I guess.
Yes, absolutely. And I think ultimately confidence is a key pillar here, not just because it helps you manage with rejection, as we've shared, but to your point now, Kirsty, is so ultimately what confidence is our belief in ourselves to be able to take an action, right? So if we know what we're trying to act towards, and if we know what our goal, our mission, or our purpose is, whatever language anyone listening to this wants to use, then that helps us stay on track. So before you asked me, you know, how do we not take rejection personally? And the third thing I shared was to connect back with the why of why we're doing it. Because for anyone listening to this, if whatever you're trying to achieve, if you truly want it, right? If you are passionate about it, or if you have a burning desire to get it done, whether it's something small or large, whatever your goal may be, then ultimately that will be a key thing to then move you to a confident action. But if you're not connected enough with your goal, or you're not clear enough on what your goal is or what you're trying to achieve and why you're trying to achieve it, you will be a little bit more unstable when it comes to dealing with rejection. So, you know, again, clarity, I said early on in this call and in this discussion. So clarity is a key pillar to confidence, right? And actually I have this, I might just quickly share it with you because for the context. So when I talk to women about confidence, I have a three-step formula that I start with as a core foundation. And so that formula, to just highlight it today. So step one is positive self-talk. So that's how we speak to ourselves matters, how we reaffirm ourselves matters, how we believe in ourselves matters. And then step two is clarity in action. You have to be crystal clear on what you want, why you want it, and the steps you need to take to get it. So that's step two. And the third step to a confidence formula that you all have now listening to this is your network. So who you surround yourself with matters. Who you have helping you achieve your goals and ambitions matters. Who you speak to. So to your point then, Kirsty, if we don't get the right support from our family, and sometimes it's as simple as they just don't understand or they're just not in a position to give it to us, then we do need to safeguard ourselves and be very protective with who we share our goals and aspirations with. Because surrounding ourselves with the right people is really crucial. So again, step one, positive self-talk, how you affirm yourself, how you grow your self-belief, super important. Step two, clarity and action. You need to know what you want, why you want it, and the steps you need to take to get it, whether there's two steps or 50 steps. You need to identify those steps because no clarity, no confidence. Is a big thing I wanted to share today. And then the third is surround yourself with the right people. So there's a little formula anyone listening to this can take away. And if you're working on those three formula steps all the time, your confidence is going to be in a great place, which is why I start with that foundation. You know, but it's really important to the process because confidence, and again, which is why we're talking today, underpins so much of what we do when we're chasing our success. So back to J.K. Rowling, and again, great example because probably everyone listening to this knows who she is, the Harry Potter author, is she had the confidence and the conviction to chase her dream. And she had that because she knew what her dream was. She had written a novel or a manuscript that she had poured her heart and soul into, and she believed that it was worthy of being published. And those two things combined, so she believed in herself, positive self-talk. She had clarity in the action. She had written the manuscript, was very clear on what she wanted for her characters and her book. And she kept going despite constant rejection. So I just wanted to share that story to kind of bring the pieces together of everything actually on this call so far we've spoken about is that's actually a great perspective, the J.K. Rowling, of how all these pieces come together. You know, and she just kept going and going. She had a burning desire. And I think all of us have a burning desire to succeed at the things that we want to succeed at. Some of us have more barriers than other, but I think we can all connect to having a desire internally. We just need to stop fear from getting in the way. And that's where high confidence comes in.
Yeah. And I think knowing your why is so important because it creates that intention not only to build your confidence and to, you know what your purpose is, but it creates an intention for the things that you do too.
Yeah, it does. And I think sometimes it drives us too, which I think is okay. So ultimately we do want to have our own self-belief, of course, and we want to be our own driver. But sometimes, and I know there'll be some people listening to this podcast where sometimes having something that is bigger than us is also a key driver for an individual, depending on what your values are, what business you're doing, and just who you are fundamentally as a unique and beautiful individual. So when we connect back with that why, and often it's driven by whether it could be a desire to be successful, it could be based on your family circumstances. You know, you could be someone who, you know, wants to lead by example to your children. You could be someone who wants to become a successful entrepreneur or a leader in your business or just become great at your job. But ultimately, we have to connect back to what the driver is, because that's really what sort of gets us going. In the morning. That's what we think about. And I know there's lots of talk at the moment. I mean, people call it your purpose or your why. And I know for some people it can sound a bit woo-woo or a bit like, oh, gosh, what's my why? But really what it is you sitting down with yourself in a cup of tea in a quiet space and going, why am I really doing what I'm doing? Like, what is it that I'm trying to achieve and why do I want it? Understanding why you want something is a core driver. That's what keeps your heart and mind in the game. That is a core motivator. So it's a big one. It's a big one to have at the center of what you do.
Yes, I love it. Well, it gives you that clarity, which, you know, like you said, we need clarity in life. We need to know why we're doing the things that we're doing, or we'll lose the motivation too.
Yeah. And we need, you're absolutely right. I mean, clarity is a big pillar, because we can't go after what we can't see or don't know or haven't broken down. Otherwise, it looks too monumental. It looks too big. So we have to get crystal clear on what those, you know, first couple of steps are. Now, even if we're clear and we have a core why, it doesn't mean that fear won't creep in. It doesn't mean that we won't have moments of doubting ourselves. Of course, nobody is exempt from that. I mean, I said on a recent chat that I was on as well that I'm scared every week in my business and in what I do, because I'm constantly pushing thresholds, and I'm sure you are too, constantly stepping out of my comfort zone, constantly trying new things. And yes, that's my choice, but, you know, I don't, even as a confidence specialist, I don't, you know, I'm not removed from doubt or fear. I just know how to manage it. I just know how to push through it, because ultimately the confidence will prop me back up, and the clarity over what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, will help push me forward. And of course my network, having great people around me. So I live my confidence formula as well, every day, you know, moving those pillars. And ultimately all of this helps us face the inevitable, which is somebody one day saying no to us, or somebody who might not like our work, or somebody who may reject us in some way. All of this work we're talking about gets you better prepared to face that moment, because you will have that moment. So it will come, but it's a matter of how you deal with it when it comes. So we want to embrace it, not be fearful of it.
Yeah, and I think it's really important that you did bring up the network, because I know, I mean, I'm the same as you. I'm always getting little obstacles happening, and, you know, I'm always putting myself out there and I just keep going, and some things work and some things don't work that I thought, gee, I really thought that was going to be a winner. And for whatever reason, or you just never know. And I've got to a point, yeah, like where I'm just resilient to it. It doesn't stop me. I do sort of reassess and look at what I can do differently. But definitely what has just sort of happened naturally for me over the years is that I'm mindful of who I share those things with. Yes. Because that in the early stages, there was probably people that I shared certain things with hoping for support, and I just sort of got that, you know, oh gosh, that didn't work. And it did affect me. And so, yeah, I think that's really important, knowing who to share with and who you can lean on for support that will be there and encourage you and help you with that resilience as well, is really important.
Oh, it's so important. And as I said, it's and for everything that you just shared as well, because when we're growing, or when we're doing, you know, taking action or working on our confidence or growing our businesses or progressing in our careers, yes, network, it plays such a vital role. And blocking out the negative or the toxic or the unhelpful, I guess is a word for it, is really important.
Yeah, I like
important.
That. Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that we're being naive, or it doesn't mean that we're just trying to cocoon ourselves in a bubble of positivity, although, again, there's nothing wrong with that if it works for an individual. But what it means is we're surrounding ourselves with people who can lift us higher, who can inspire us or motivate us, who can challenge us honestly and say, hey, what do you think of this? I value your opinion, good, bad or ugly. Tell me what you think, because I trust your opinion. So we can also surround ourselves with people that we know could probably give us fair and constructive feedback as we move through. But we have to surround ourselves as well with people who are, I want to say, on our level, understand what you're trying to do, that you believe can help you or support you in some way. And look, unfortunately, sometimes the people that are closest to us, whether they're family or some other close relation, aren't necessarily the right people for that. And that can be quite confronting to, especially women in business on their journey, that there are certain people we want to turn to, but they just don't know what they don't know. They just can't give us what we need. So the sooner we can come to terms with that and go and find the right people, the better as well, to help with confidence. And in this virtual world, so, you know, mentorship as well as literature, as well as people you love following on social media. So your network doesn't just have to be someone that you physically catch up with. That's something I wanted to share. There are so many great people that we can follow. We can follow their social media. We can follow their websites. We can watch their YouTube videos. We can listen to their podcasts. And they offer so much guidance, but we might not ever literally meet that person. So something to think about is use all the tools that are available and the platforms in this digital world, because it doesn't necessarily have to be someone that you can physically go and have a coffee with either.
Right. And that's such a great point. It's exactly the people that you follow can, as they share their story as well, it helps to normalize this part of the process too.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is, it's so, I know I come back to that word a lot, but it's just a normal part of the process. So we strip away the power of rejection and certainly strip away its power of denting our confidence for too long by normalizing it and by understanding and connecting with these processes, that it's not a matter of will it happen, it's a matter of when will it happen, how do we. So just that slight mindset shift and understanding that, hey, it will be a redirection, and perhaps it is a learning curve for us when we hit the no, or perhaps it's nothing to do with us, you know. But and the majority, and as I said, the odds are that it's certainly not personal. So we need to look, as I said, external, we need to look situational before we look personal. And even if it's in fact something that we have perhaps could do better. So say we have presented something and it's being rejected, and we could have done something in the process. Again, that's just a valuable learning curve, as opposed to a personal attack of you're not smart enough or you're not good enough, because nobody's perfect.
Yeah,
we're all learning along the way as well.
And so as we normalize it, that it's just going to happen whenever it happens, how can these types of opportunities actually help us to build and strengthen our confidence, you know, as we're, you know, moving through our journey?
Yeah, well, naturally you will build your confidence because you will be taking more action. So that's the key one I wanted to leave with, because confidence is built off action. Confidence is fundamentally our belief in ourselves to take an action, but we actually have to take the action to get the confidence, or to kick off a nice sort of confidence, competence, momentum. So back to your question, the more we do each little micro step, each little try, each little presentation or pitch or whatever it is that you know, anyone listening to this does in their business, each time we take action, we build confidence. And then the more steps we take, we build momentum, and then we get more competent, right? So we get better at it. Perhaps we're pitching our work or whatever. And then when we combine confidence with competence, that's when we have this amazing sort of success cycle, because you can have all of the competence in the world. You can literally be the best, the smartest, or whatever is appropriate in your field. But if somebody else around you has more confidence and they are taking more action than you, and you are self-rejecting, or you are fearful of failure or stopping after the first failure, it won't take long before they jump over you. Mm-hmm. So it's crucial that we bring confidence and competence together. So again, back to your question, it's about finding ways to take small actions, finding ways to either we get a win which is taking action, or we fail fast. So fail fast is a term or a phrase that I love, because what failing fast does, if you are going to fail, you know, you might get the win, but it means that you don't waste time. It means that you're not stuck in the land of not knowing, and it means that you have clarity. Because as we know, if you go, you know, Kirsty, even in your business, if you're, you know, pitching something, right, obviously you want them to say yes. But if they're going to say no, you'd rather know that within same day or 24 hours or whenever their deadline is, than sit there for weeks not knowing and then get a no.
Yes.
So we want to fail fast. We want to be confident to, you know, do our work, put ourselves in the game, or as Brené Brown says, you know, step into the arena, because we're going to get two amazing things happen. And this is what I want to share is, firstly, number one, you'll get what you want, right? You'll do the action and you'll win the business, or you'll get what you want, which is amazing. Or the second part of that is you will hopefully get a fast no. And there's tremendous learnings out of that, because you can redirect a lot faster, which means you don't lose time, you don't lose money, you don't lose resources, you don't lose sleep, you don't get caught in negative thought cycles. So we want to fail fast. And I know a lot of entrepreneurs out there use that language as well. And I'm a big fan of it, because the longer we sit without clarity, back to that word, but it's a key one, or not knowing, the more time we have for our negative thoughts or that self-doubt to take over, or fear. So, because either way, rejection hurts, right? Even though some of us can deal with it better than others, it hurts. And actually, I'll just share a quick story. I recently read an article. So for anyone who's interested, I've recently written a blog on this, on reframing rejection. You can hit my website. Kirsty will give you the details if you want to read that blog after listening to this podcast. But I came across some research that was done in the US, and I just wanted to quickly share this with you. So especially when it comes to rejection and social rejection, so this is when we are rejected by our peers, our family, yeah, our relationships, because I know Kirsty touched on that, when sometimes you can't talk to your family or those closest to you. So this research out of the US actually scientifically proved that when we experience physical pain, so we've hurt ourselves in a physical way, a certain area of our brain is what lights up, basically. And when you are socially rejected, the same part of your brain, yes, is triggered. Yeah. So the reason why rejection hurts, and it really hurts us, is because we're actually triggering, on some occasions, not every aspect of rejection, but just something I wanted to drop in, because I found this so fascinating as to why it hurts us and really hits us to the core of our heart and our physical, you know, being, is because sometimes we're activating the same part of the brain as physical pain.
Yes.
So I wanted to share that story, and I thought, especially with your background, Kirsty, that you would love that one, because it was a fascinating piece of research. And so if anyone listening to this, I shared that because if you've experienced a rejection, and you really are deeply hurt, like you've had days or moments of pain, I want you to know that that's okay, and that is not all in your head sometimes in terms of your thoughts. Sometimes you are experiencing a sensation of physical pain. So
I love that you brought this up, because I'm aware of that study, and I actually share that study with the teenagers that I work with that are dealing with a lot of times, you know, changing friendship dynamics,
yep,
and it's, you know, they really find it difficult to process. And when I explain that to them, that it's lighting up that part of the brain, exactly, that's physical pain, that's why it feels just so like your heart is broken almost.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important for us to acknowledge and witness and recognize that we are experiencing pain, but that pain doesn't then change your worth, or that situation doesn't change your worth, and getting to that point, because we tend to, okay, that hurts, that happened, they think that of me, and it affects our feelings towards ourselves and our own self-worth.
Yep. Absolutely, and great point. And yeah, it's a fascinating study, and obviously that just got me I was down reading that for a long time. It was fascinating. And because, yes, look, it's a big thing. And as I said, as much as I've spoken today around let's normalize rejection, even though I'm saying that, it doesn't mean that it won't hurt along the way. So I just want to be very clear that we're still feeling it when it happens. And even if we're better prepared, it can still hurt. And again, that's why I wanted to just talk about that study, because there's science behind it, of course, in certain situations as well. But fundamentally, confidence plays a big part here, I guess, is the takeaway I wanted to leave all of the listeners with, is that confidence is a key component of being able to manage rejection better. Because yeah. We'll never be able to stop it, because as you grow your business or as you know your life changes, again, it's inevitable that we will face it or some form of failure in some way, shape or form, whether it's, you know, small, medium or large. But confidence plays a part in allowing us to be better prepared if it happens, certainly manage it or deal with it whilst it happens, not take it personally, because we will have a different perspective of, hey, you know, yes, could I have done something better, but what's the situation? Who's involved? Is it a no completely? Is it a no for right now? You know, and all these other things which play a part, you know, the other person, do they have an agenda? There are so many, as I say, variables in rejection. There really are. Mm. There are so many variables that are above us that have nothing to do with us, but we just get caught in a negative thought cycle, which kind of takes over, I guess, the reality of what's just happened. Because when we step back, when we have a look at the situation, as I said, but then when we think about the way that we approached it and we bring all the evidence together, more often than not, we get an answer, as in, and the answer is not our fault, as in it yes. wasn't personal.
Yeah.
It was, you know, and sometimes that answer could be, just I'll give a quick example of when you're going for a job. So to anyone listening to this, you know, you're vying for a promotion against somebody else, or you're going to a new job in a company and you miss out, and it's very easy for us to go, oh, I didn't perform in the interview. I obviously wasn't good enough, or, you know, Kirsty had more qualifications than me, etc. And all this negative self-talk. But yes, really, when it comes down to it, the evidence is perhaps the other person did actually have more experience than you. Perhaps the other person just on that day did actually perform better in the interview. So it doesn't take away from who you are or what you've achieved, but in the situation that was presented, there was a reason that the decision was made.
Yeah.
So it doesn't always have to be, again, just looking at the situation and understanding that, yeah, sometimes we hear no's because it's just part of the process. But not letting it derail us is the real important piece here. And again, that's why we're talking today. Confidence plays an instrumental role in that, because confident women will fail more and will fail faster and will face more rejection, but they will push through it. They will build more resilience. They will build more experience. They will build a broader network, which ultimately all those things get you closer to your goal. So if you feel you're handling rejection in a way that's really bringing you down, then definitely shift your focus to building your confidence on a daily basis, because that's going to be the starting pillar for sure. I'm such a fan for many reasons, and basically there's obviously scientific proof around it as well of like positive affirmation. So when we talk self-talk, I'm talking about starting your day or finishing your afternoon or drinking your coffee or tea, saying your affirmation. So, you know, I'm worthy, or I'm successful, or I deserve to be here, or whatever is an affirmation that is important to the individual. So I believe in always starting with, you know, I am, I will, I can. So making sure that focus is really on yourself and feeding your brain that positive self-talk, because we know through science that when we, how we speak to ourselves, we actually retrain our brain to think that way. So if you speak, yeah, and so if you speak negatively to yourself, if you tell yourself you're garbage, if you tell yourself you're not worthy, then your brain will literally start to create that belief pattern. So you will change essentially your brain, for anyone listening to this, right, and the way that you think, same as if we're speaking to ourselves positive. So it is such an important thing. So your affirmations, whether you say them out loud, whether you have them on a post-it note or framed around your office, but surrounding yourself with the words that when you say them to yourself, to answer your question, they make you feel good. That's the only rule here. What words give you all a buzz? What words activate your heart, activate that beautiful feeling inside you? What words make you feel good? What do you like about yourself? So in all of my work in coaching with women, whether it's workshops or in my one-to-one clients, some of the first questions I ask them or have in my workbooks are, you know, tell me three things you think you're good at. Tell me three things you love about yourself. Tell me three things you've achieved in the last 2 years that you're proud of, personally or work-related. If, and there's just a couple of exercises anyone listening to this can do. When you connect back with those and you write them down, as you know, because I'm a huge advocate, I know you are, writing stuff down as well. When you connect back with that and get it out of your mind and into verbally speaking it to yourself or seeing it in front of you, that's really powerful. So that is the first, simplest, and one of the most powerful steps we can do. And for anyone listening, there is science behind this. Positive affirmations is done by some of the most successful people in the world, not because it's some sort of woo-woo, you know, let's drink some green tea and sit around. It's because it actually works. So there is methods and science behind it. So anyway, I just wanted to share that. And that's where we start, because how you talk to yourself matters. Because if you keep telling yourself that you're a failure or I can't do this because I'm going to get rejected, like, that's your barrier. You don't even have to worry about anybody else yet. The barrier remains in your own mindset, which, of course, Kirsty, I know you do so much amazing work on that. The barrier remains in us, and that's what we need to deal with first before we even worry about who might reject us. We need to get out of our own negative mindset first.
And you touched on before, I used the words and I loved it. And when we chatted in email, you said it as well, confidently reframing rejection.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love that because it sounds so empowering as well. And so it's, could you explain what that means to everyone listening?
Yeah, absolutely. So I just, when I say that term, confidently reframing rejection, so reframing is when you just flip the perspective on something and you connect back with the evidence, because usually how you're thinking is not the reality of what's going on. So we want to connect with the evidence and create a new story. So that's where I get the term redirection. So when I say I want to confidently reframe rejection, I don't call it rejection, I call it redirection. Because you're either going to bounce off back with more knowledge, or you're going to pivot in a different direction, of course, or you're going to now know the hurdle that you've just faced, so you can go away and prepare for it a little bit better and come back and have a second shot at it. But how you confidently reframe rejection is to stop calling it rejection and to call it something else. So normalizing it back to what I said earlier. So I call it redirection. By all means, there's a word for you all, but you can call it something else. You can just call it a normal part of the process or another cool word. But I actually don't like the word rejection at all. And I do think language, now the word exists and it has a meaning, so I'm not trying to be naive around that. But I think the language and the words that we use are weapons, and language matters. And if you don't want to use that language, then don't. Find a more confident reframe, borrow, you know, use redirection, use whatever. But if you're uncomfortable with that language, if it makes you feel a negative connotation, then moving away from it or not using it doesn't make you delusional. It just means you're making a smart decision to help yourself take some action or better action. So that's what I mean about that term, is I'm like, let's go redirection, let's go reset, let's go pivot, but let's not look at it as, you know, a stop sign, basically.
Yeah. I think that's great advice, because rejection, I agree with you, it feels like a heavy word. It feels like a really harmful hurt. It's got, and I think because of years of messaging that we've heard throughout, you know, our, you know, from being probably a kid about rejection and failure, you know, and there's a heavy attachment to those, both those things being personal. And yes. So by shifting and changing the wording straight away, it feels differently, which then allows you to approach it differently. And it's much easier to shift your mindset around that particular circumstance when you're looking at it as a redirection. And it's much easier to feel more resilient and to continue to, you know, maintain, take that action that you're talking about that's so important for us to, you know, build our confidence when we're looking at without perhaps years and years of old message, toxic messaging attached to it, just a word.
Yeah. And I couldn't agree with you more. Actually, I'm so glad you said that because you're right. That word rejection does have, for everything you just said, kind of a personal, yes, a personal nature or attachment. And I truly believe that's why there is that strong hold to it of taking it personally. So, yes, there's deeply rooted messaging and over the course of a long time. So I think you said it perfectly. And you're right. And that's why I'm a big advocate of each individual pulling the levers that help them, because if you're someone who can handle the word rejection, or you just look at it in a different way, going, yeah, I'm not going to look at it as a stop sign, I'm going to look at it as a way to pivot or adapt or whatever, great, or redirect, great. Or, you know, but if you're someone who just doesn't want to use that word altogether, and in your own dialogue or in your own process of your business or your work, you want to change away or move away from that word, then I'm a big fan of that as well. Whatever is going to keep you on a course of taking action, which then again continually builds confidence, which of course then gets our confidence higher, gets us more momentum, gets us more confident, because each time you're taking action, you're building competency as well, right? Because you're doing something, you're doing it again, then you're doing it again, right? So so again, if we can bring competence and confidence together, it's a winning formula, and certainly a winning formula when we're taking on, you know, a rejection or a moment of failure or perceived failure. But they're equally as important, because a lot of people listening to this will be very, very competent. But if your confidence is down, it will be a temporary blocker. So it's important to focus on that as well.
I love it. You've, once again, you've covered everything so succinctly. Just give really great, you know, relatable action steps as well, which I love.
Yeah, no, thank you. And I've really appreciated the opportunity to have another great chat with you, Kirsty. And I think, I mean, you know, because we've spoken about this, but to anyone, you know, this thing is, confidence really is a superpower, right? That's what I call it. And I know that can sound like quite a big statement, and I'm totally okay with that, because I've seen its true power in action throughout my entire career. You know, I coach women and speak to women globally as well as across Australia. I do businesses, I work with businesses, I work with individuals, and I meet great people like you, Kirsty, who are also specialists in their field. And, you know, we all know the true power of confidence. We know that it can be the thing that tips you over the line. It could be the thing that's the game changer, right? Of course, there's other aspects. Of course, we need to know what we're doing and that sort of thing. But sometimes we don't actually know what we're doing at the beginning. Sometimes we're figuring stuff out, right, on the go. It's our confidence. Yeah, it's our confidence that keeps us going, okay, great, I've got this opportunity. So, you know, I know we've gone into a bit of different depths here, but I think, yeah, thank you for the compliments around sort of the coaching tips and stuff rolling, because I'm all about practical action and giving everyone the tools to go away and start work on this themselves, because there's so much self-work, of course. Confidence is an inside game, so it starts with you. Just in this chat today, between what you and I have said, there are so many great tips and tools that everyone can take away and start thinking about today, right? This afternoon. Or
totally agree.
So it's about, that's the takeaway I wanted to say with you, that we can listen to it all as much as we want, but we must be acting to build confidence. We must be acting and keeping ourselves in the game. So we must be doing the work. And so that's a fundamental thing here. So hopefully this gives, you know, the listeners some great places to start to do that work, because that's the only way to combat these feelings or this fear of rejection or the emotions we've got after being potentially rejected, because we've got to get ourselves back in the ring as soon as possible. We've got to do that work. So, but as I always say, there's lots of learnings in the journey as well.
100%. Totally, totally agree. Before we go, I want to pick your brain and ask you, I would love to know, what is your, because we talked about affirmations again, I'm right with you there. I always have an affirmation or three or four that I love each week. Do you have a favorite affirmation that you tend to always sort of lean on the most?
I do, and this is something that's kind of, I guess it's, yes, it's my personal affirmation that I say to myself, and I have, I guess it's like a three-pronged statement. So I say to myself, you know, every morning that I'm confident, you know, I'm worthy and I'm unstoppable. Mm-hmm. And so that's my three to me, and that's because obviously I understand the power of confidence, and I am a confident woman and now a confidence coach, you know, and speaker as well. But the worthy piece is around, I had my own struggles in the past with imposter syndrome and other things that, of course, I've gotten myself out of and now gone on to specialize in. And unstoppable is one that really drives me, because just because a few things in my background, but I truly believe that I am my only limit. So I truly believe that. Like, I truly believe that if I put my mind and create the right mindset and have the right people around me and have the right clarity on what I want, I truly believe that I can go on to achieve whatever I put my mind to. Now, that thought track and belief didn't happen overnight, but it also didn't take 10 years either. But they're just little phrases, and those affirmations I remind myself of every day. And they, back to my earlier point, that connects with my heart. That yeah. They give me a buzz, and that's why it's really important. So thank you for asking. And for anyone listening, find the words that matter to you. It's so, you know, we don't have to go generic. We don't have to do what other entrepreneurs do. We don't have to have buzzwords. It just has to matter to you.
Yeah.
That's the
I love the unstoppable part. I love it. I might actually take that one.
that also helps me deal with rejection, because yeah. I still face I'm always stepping out of my comfort zone, face my fair share of it. But I mean, as I said, I had an experience in this conversation for another day, but just close as Friday. So only, not long ago. But I put all these tools in play. I assessed the situation. I understood the why, the how, the person, and I knew it wasn't personal. And it truly wasn't. And I knew that, but it's because I've done the self-work.
Yeah. Well, it's years and years ago when I started on this journey of building up my own, I've shared it with you, I think, in the last episode. I had terrible self-worth and terrible self-confidence. I've done so much inner work, but my affirmation when I was sort of at the beginning, that was, I am so fucking worthy.
Yeah. I love that.
It just felt like, yeah, I can get behind this, whereas I was so at that point where it's like, I am worthy. Oh, so I'm like, no, because you got to beef this up. So, and it's still like years and years later, I repeat it to myself. It always just makes me smile. And exactly, it lifts my energy and it makes me go, yeah, you are. It's really important to put that emotion behind your affirmations as well, so that they can resonate with you too.
I agree. I love that one so much, and love, as I said, how much of a buzz it gives you and what it means to you and what it does to your mindset. And that's, and again, for anyone listening to this, like, there's true science behind this as well. Not just, personal development or professional development conversation. There's real science behind this stuff as well, right? It works if we stick to it. And it's a great place to start, because confidence starts with the individual. And as I said, we have to have the confidence in ourselves to either A, put ourselves in the game, or B, bounce back from the rejection if in fact it does happen.
That's why I really wanted to go into this with you today, because, I know that there'll be, more than one person listening that might have just experienced that redirection, in the last couple of days, and going through that, feeling like, do I give up and what's wrong with me? And I just really think it's a conversation that, you need to hear in your journey, so that you don't give up, so that you don't stop going and, lose passion for what you want. And, that next breakthrough, that next success is there because you choose to instead, redirect. So, yeah, I think that this was a really, really valuable conversation to have. And then on top of that, there was just, you gave so many practical tools and strategies, which you always do. So thank you so much. I'm so grateful for your time and your wisdom and your expertise. And, you know, you've got such a true, you know, not only gift in this area, but a true passion for it. And it just shines through in every word that you speak.
Thank you. I truly appreciate that feedback. Thank you very much. And really appreciate the platform and your wonderful podcast to have this discussion. And absolutely loved, you know, all of our chats so far to Kirsty. And as I said, I know, you know, I do believe in the law of attraction, the universe, and we turned up today in orange. So
I know. The power colour.
Perfect day, despite the terrible weather here in Sydney, for this conversation. So thank you so much for giving me access to your platform and your audience. And yeah, so glad that we continue chatting about these topics. So I look forward to catching up with you very soon.
Amazing. And I'm going to drop all of your links in the episode notes as well. But just for anyone listening, where can they find you, your website?
Yeah, thank you. And thanks for dropping those links. So you can find me just via my name, alisonshamir.com, and Kirsty will drop that into all of the collateral around this podcast. But you can head to my website if you do want to read my blog and sort of expert insights on these topics, including the recent one on confidently reframing rejection that's on the website, or catch me across all major social media at Alison Shamir. So I'm nice and easy to find. Come say hi. If you heard this and you have questions, come ask me the questions. Let me know you've listened to the podcast. More than happy to answer them for you.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, and I'll hopefully see you soon.
Yeah, my pleasure. Bye for now. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. And if you loved this episode, I would be so grateful if you could take the time to leave me a 5-star review and share this with your friends and family. I really appreciate you being here with me. And if you'd like to know more about what I do and for some free resources, please head on over to my website, teamko.com.au, and you can connect with me over on social media at Meditate with Kirsty.